Good morning and welcome to Joy News at 6. The news is live on Joy 99.7 and Hits 103.9 FM in Accra. In Kumasi, we're on Love 99.5 FM and over 30 affiliates across Ghana's 16 regions, including ATL FM Cape Coast, Might FM Tamale, Bewo Radio Yendi, and Nkiligi FM Boli. Get radio, TV, and online content on the MyJoyOnline.com interactive app for Android and iOS devices. Coming up, energy experts cast doubt on PURC's ability to collect 5.8 million city fine on ECG board members after they failed to publish a load shedding timetable.
I'm wondering how the PURC is going to enforce that decision. How are they going to collect that money?
My only reservation is the quantum. It's too high.
Meanwhile, persistent gadget repairs and thousands of cities lost in discarded fish and meat products. That's the story of coastal operators at the Malata Market on today's episode of Doomsday Diaries.
The last time we threw about 10 boxes away.
We have details of that. Also, health sector crisis beginning to explode as pressure mounts on government to employ more than 60,000 trained nurses who remain at home 4 years since completing school.
We have been in the house without working. When exactly are we going to get our employment?
In business,
IMF projects robust economic growth for Ghana from next year with almost 5% growth rate in new economic outlook. We've got details on the Joy Business Report.
And later, processes underway to extradite former Maslok CEO Sedina Temaklu Atunu to serve her 10-year jail term handed her by an Accra High Court yesterday.
You can just stay away, but so far as some laws relating to how you can extradite to former country to Ghana, if there's a judgment against like this one, rest assured that should be brought down. Freeze justice.
These are more with me, Mamisi Nyamiche Thompson. Let's get digging now. Now, those doubts that the PURC can enforce the 5.8 million city fine imposed on ECG board members for failing to schedule a load shedding timetable to mitigate the impact of recent power outages. Energy expert Dr. Steve Mantiel is concerned political influence could frustrate the PURC's efforts in compelling the ECG board to fulfill its financial obligations.
I'm wondering how the PURC is going to enforce that decision. How are they going to collect that money? And I sincerely believe that the directors will not comply. The political threat to what is happening. And so I suspect that at some point, the powers that be will step in.
Well, even former Power Minister Kwabena Donko, who supports the PURC to crack the whip, thinks the fine is too much.
It's too high. I would still jubilate if each director was fined even 10,000 cedis each. Because at this time, the most critical thing is the principle that directors can be held personally and collectively liable.
But PURC's Commissioner Ishmael Ejikumhini, justifying the fines, believes his outfit will ensure they're paid according to law.
I think the numbers behind the computation we've demonstrated why we did that. It's up to, that's the commission's decision, and I think it was well thought through. Let's see how they react to that.
Well, persistent gadget repairs and thousands of cities lost in discarded fish and meat products. That's the story of coastal operators as the erratic power supply continues to bite hard on businesses. James Avedi takes us to the Malata Market in Accra to tell the story.
I'm here in the heart of Malata Market in Accra to explore the doomsday diary of operators of frozen food shops. Chocho, one of the owners of the cold stores here, tells me on several occasions he has had to dispose of some products which went bad because of the unstable power supply.
The cost of the fish has also gone up. The ones we used to buy for 100 cedis now sells for between 400 to 600 cedis. The moment the fish becomes tender, no one wants to buy them. We are usually left with no option than to dispose of the cold foods that have gone bad. We are pleading with government to resolve the power crisis.
Another trader, Aja, says 3 weeks ago, When the Dumso became intense, tens of cartons of fish and meat products in his cold room went bad, running into loss of thousands of cedis.
The last time, threw about 10 boxes away.
James Avedji with that report to the health sector now. The health sector is facing serious crisis and could explode anytime soon as more than 60,000 trained nurses mount pressure on government to provide them employment. Their demand is coming at a time government is seeking to cut expenditure and raise revenue in compliance with the terms of the three-year IMF program. They poured onto the streets yesterday demanding immediate employment. Head of our health desk, Fred Smith, reports.
Thousands who make up three cohorts of nurses who completed their training in 2020, 2021 and 2022 have been home since they completed school. The numbers appear impossible for government to deal with.
My people, they will promise if I don't get reduced masturbation.
2, 3 and 4 years without work and their patience is waning.
We have been in the house without working. When exactly are we going to get our employment? It is not easy for us out there as young people. Some of us have like resorted to farming, selling, trading and other stuff, which is not really our field.
Their demonstration at the health and finance ministries, which are responsible for giving them work, give very little hope of their joblessness ending. No senior official is ever on hand to receive their petitions, except public relations officers who cannot resolve their concerns.
Fred Smith, head of our health desk with that report. Now, three teacher unions, NAT, NAGRAT and the Coalition of Concerned Teachers Association, are disappointed with the government's handling of negotiations concerning their conditions of service following a meeting at the Education Ministry on Tuesday. Despite engaging in closed-door discussions, uncertainty looms over the progress of these negotiations. The unions criticise government's approach and will take their next course of action after their meeting with the NLC later today. Thomas Musa is General Secretary of NAT.
We are in negotiations and the rest of the issues they have, they will table it at the NLC. After the meeting, we can give full disclosures there on what has happened today. Certainly, we are still disappointed. You know, when we indicated to you yesterday that we have certain disappointments, we still maintain that position. And we've come here today and we have indicated to them whatever they have, they should take you to the Labour Commission, 2 p.m. and we shall meet there to take it out from there. The rest of the issues will be discussed in detail this meeting, and they know what we've told them. We've expressed our concerns, frustrations, and all the things that we are not happy with, we've told them.
Away from that, some driver unions have defined the Ministry of Transport's directive to withhold fare adjustments until negotiations conclude, despite ongoing talks with government for over a week with no concrete agreement reached. Some drivers have unilaterally increased fares by at least 20% since Monday, scheduled to meet with the ministry later today for final discussions. Leaders of the Concerned Drivers Association and the Transport Operators of Ghana have stated their refusal to comply with the directive. David Abuado is Public Relations Officer of the unions.
Exactly so. We are charging the 20%. We started it on Saturday. We still continue taking it.
Are you in this meeting tomorrow? We understand have been called to try and negotiate an outcome fair that will be fair to all parties.
Let me make it clear to every Ghanaian that there is no anywhere in the Constitution that tells us that if we are about to increase transport fare, we should go to the Transport Ministry. But rather, it is in DPRTU's constitution.
Okay, you'll be part of this meeting?
We will be part. But to be frank and honest with you, there will not be a meeting tomorrow. Those that have to be at the meeting are not in the country.
And before we go, the Attorney General's office is making plans to extradite former CEO of Maslok, Sadina Tamakula Tionu, to face justice following a 10-year jail term handed her by the Accra High Court. Head of our legal affairs desk, Richard Kujinyako, has more on this report.
Contrary to the claims that Maslok paid victims of the Kantamanto fire disaster huge sums of money to enable them resettle, it turned out that no amount of money was given to the victims. There was also no evidence of any sensitization exercise organized across the country by Maslok. prices of 350 vehicles were inflated, while buses that were supposed to be given out to the GPRTU suffered same overpricing, leading to the rejection of the buses. Over 90 million Ghana cedis are said to have been lost as a result of the activities of the two. Presiding Judge Justice Ifeasewa Sarebuche says such public officers like the two convicts are worse than armed robbers who rob people and households with AK-47 rifles. Deputy Attorney General Alfred Chiayeboa says they will begin processes to extradite the former boss and also attach their properties, both home and abroad, to defray some of the costs.
You can't just stay away, but so far as some laws relating to how you can extradite to former country to Ghana, if there's a judgment against like this one, rest assured that should be brought down. Face justice.
And that's how we end the bulletin on Joy 99.7 FM. I am Amisi Nyamiche Thompson. Business is next on the Super Money.